Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Reem McCaffrey.
Hi, I'm Santia. I'm here with Ruth Ann. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks, Santia.
Good. We are here today to talk about making peace with medical news. And we're going to talk about our own medical news and also about news that someone else may have about a medical situation. And that reminds me of a quote that I heard from Wayne Dwyer, Dr. Wayne Dwyer, talking about a comment that Deepak Chopra had said to him when he found out about his own illness. And he said, "Life is a sexually transmitted terminal disease."
Oh my goodness.
And I thought that that really puts things in a different perspective when you think about that, because getting some really difficult medical news or terminal information or that can be a really tough thing, whether it's for yourself or a loved one.
Right. Well, and most people receive the news if it's something like cancer or something in that, you know, heart or something like that, with almost terror. Many people imagine the worst. And so what I'd like to talk about is how to make peace with the fact that our lives are all on this one track that will eventually end up with us leaving this earth. Mm-hmm. And the gift in getting information that is about an illness or a condition that could be life-threatening is that we have some time to make peace with it. And what do I mean by make peace with it? I mean get the things done that we want to get done that will give us a sense of relief and closure when we're ready to leave the earth or die. And people who die suddenly don't have any time to say goodbye, don't have any time to tell the people that are important to them those last important words, don't have time to give closure or finish things that are important to them. Mm-hmm. But when we have gotten medical news, of course, one aspect is to do whatever we can to listen to our doctors and to make every attempt that we can that's possible to overcome it and extend our life and stick around, especially if we can create quality of life in doing that. At the same time, life is going on. And if every focus is on being afraid of how this disease or how this illness is going to eventually take our life away, and the 100% of our focus is on that, we're missing a very important opportunity to have experiences in life that are really precious in the now. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to encourage listeners who have faced that news or who will face that kind of news to remember that while they're working with their bodies and helping their bodies be the strong adversary to the illness or disease, that they can also work with their life and their relationships and their community and their creativity and their love of people and places to continue to bring in joy to them. It doesn't have to be a time that's all colored by the news of the illness.
Okay. And I guess, what are some things that we can do to help someone who's going through getting that news, whether it's, say, your spouse or loved one or a close friend? What are some things we can do?
I think one of the things to do is not to be afraid to talk about it. Mm-hmm. The more we keep, you know, kind of hold a stiff upper lip and are afraid to share what our experience is or ask how can we be the best spouse or lover or friend, the less we have a chance to make this time really rich in connection. And I'm thinking of people that I know who were afraid to say anything. And so everything was, if you ask those, the individual, well, how's it going with your spouse? Oh, everything's just fine. Everything's fine. And things were not fine. Mm-hmm. And so once there was a willingness to say, I'm just really afraid. I don't know how I'm going to manage. I want you to know, my lover, that I want to be the best for you that I can be. At the same time, I want you to know that this is scary for me, and how can we get through this together? Mm-hmm. And so once a couple can start to do that, I think they can begin to recapture some of the essence of a really strong relationship and be there for one another rather than just focus 100% on the disease or illness. And so those last days or months or even years can be so much richer because we've set aside our pretense of, oh, everything's fine, and mm-hmm. instead everything's not. And being honest in a kind way lets us have access to the real gift of tenderness and intimacy. And this is true with friends as well. I mean, if we can be real with somebody and say, this is a very hard time, sometimes friends will go, I've been having a hard time too, mm-hmm. or I've wanted to help your wife or your husband, and I just didn't know how. You guys seemed like you had it all together, and so we just were afraid to break through that. It felt like a barrier.
And being, I think being transparent, like you're saying, that's a real critical part, because people, they do go through a different, they handle it differently when they get the news.
Right.
Maybe it's about themselves or even about a family member. People, I've noticed a number of friends, family members that handle it so differently, where right. it's either sometimes a denial,
yeah.
or sometimes not wanting to know anything about the medical treatments and so forth, and asking someone else to do the research for them, mm-hmm. or others that are very willing to talk about what's going on.
And that brings up a really interesting point, Santia, because we need to take our lead from the person who is ill. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to be transparent, then that really is their choice. Mm-hmm. And it's our loss as well as theirs that we won't be able to have a level of honesty with them. But if that's the only way that they can cope, then I think accepting what we're going to not have with them is part of what will let us be, at peace. So mm-hmm. it's all about making peace with the medical news, and so taking the lead from the other person and what they're willing to do will give us some guidelines to follow.
It sounds like meeting them where they are,
right.
rather than either pushing or trying to pull them in another direction. Just
right.
being where they are and learning to accept that, even if it's frustrating
right.
for you.
I think offering up, though, our willingness to be transparent, if mm-hmm. they can do that, gosh, that would be a real gift. I would hope that people would do that with me.
Definitely. And so that's about how to handle that with someone maybe close to you. What mm-hmm. about, what are some other things you can do, or how do we handle getting information about maybe someone that's, maybe it's a coworker
right.
that has some medical information that can be a really touchy.
I think, again, topic. Taking the lead for them. Sometimes they don't want to share at work because it feels like somehow they're not, their capacity to be a worker is diminished. Mm-hmm. And that would maybe, they might feel it would put their work continuing to be at work at risk. And so maybe do it privately with the person and say, you know, I understand that you're facing some difficult days. Is there anything I can do to help? And they may say yes, and they may say no. Mm-hmm. But you've offered, and sometimes there's a little bit of time. A person will offer, and the other person can think about it. And then when something comes up, they hopefully remember that you're somebody who was willing to stand with him mm-hmm. during those hard times. So,
and I know some people, when if it's a coworker or say a friend that's not as close mm-hmm. as a spouse or significant other, that they may need things at different times.
Right.
So a book or a CD about something, that may not be as helpful in that first week, but that could be really helpful maybe a month later.
It could be.
Right. Or bringing dinners or leaving Starbucks cards.
Right.
Those kinds of, it seems like there can, it can be kind of difficult to know when you're supposed to do those things or when it makes sense to do those things.
One of the things that happens when people go through a long illness or even an illness and then a death is that eventually, even in a long illness, people's lives are busy. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of get our lives going. And these, our friends or even coworkers are still engaged with this challenging situation. If we can remember to circle back periodically mm-hmm. and let them know they're not forgotten. Mm-hmm. And this is especially true for someone who's had a death in their family. Pretty soon after the memorial or the funeral and all of the flowers and all of the everything after, a few weeks later, there is such a quietness that happens and everyone's life has gotten back on their schedule. And yet to the people involved in the situation, it's never going to be the same again. Mm-hmm. And if we can stay in their lives in some way and let them know they're not forgotten, that's a tremendous gift to give them.
Definitely. Mm. And so what about going back to the person that is has a significant other that mm-hmm. has some medical information that's difficult, and then the person that's providing that support to them, sometimes what they're going through, even though they don't have the illness, sometimes mm-hmm. it almost feels like that person has an illness.
Right.
How do they work through maybe the feelings that they're having?
I think the important thing is to be aware that if you're a friend, for example, and your friend is going through something really hard, that you're going through some grief. And what you're grieving over, you're beginning the long grief process with the news that this person who you've loved is maybe not going to be around forever, won't be around forever. And so beginning to know that you're going to have some feelings about that, maybe getting some help yourself, some support yourself, so that you can be, again, present as a support for your friends. So I would suggest either talking it out with somebody, probably not the people involved, mm-hmm. Unless they bring it up. And they may say, well, how are you doing? You know, John was your friend too, or is your friend too. How are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's really hard for me, and I just know how important he is to you. So what can I do if I was John's spouse? What can I do to support you? Because we're going through this together. Mm-hmm. I would think if we can band together and going through a process or grief experience, it's not so hard. We're providing shoulders to cry on, or
that's right,
hands to hold, and it just makes it much less lonely.
And that grief process really encompasses not just the person, but it really does go beyond that to
right.
a
the
number
friendship.
Of it, yeah, in
right.
different ways.
Yeah.
It does. It really, affects a number of individuals that are going through that.
Right. We're doing it personally and mm-hmm. we're doing it together. Mm-hmm. So the big task is to, be present to the experience and help each other if we can and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And the gift in going through these big transitions is that we're more.
Definitely.
We're more compassionate. We know more about what people need and what we need, and so we can be there in a bigger way.
And that,
when
to
we're
me,
called
that makes
upon.
Exactly that makes a lot of sense. I know when I personally saw someone going through a very difficult time with an illness, I learned a lot about myself during
right.
that time. And
right.
that was something that I learned some things I didn't like about myself.
Yeah.
and then I learned some things that I did. And that was important for me to really spend some time learning about myself so I could actually be a help.
That's a great way to experience the making peace with something that's so big.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. This has been very reassuring and very helpful. Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.